Bow your heads with me, please, in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to praise you. Father, we thank you that your Spirit is at work in our hearts. Lord, as we wrap up this series that examine the words of Jesus, who taught us the different conditions of our heart to receiving your word, I pray, Father, that our hearts would be like that soil in the garden, that your word may take root in our hearts, that we would grow. You want us to be, Father, bearing the fruits that you desire us to bear, all in the name of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So it's kind of fitting, actually. My folks are here visiting on a day where I start off talking about their property and a visit I used to do. My folks had retired a long time ago in Hawaii, and they were living on the small island of Molokai. They were there for about 12, 13 years. It was kind of funny because on one end, nobody felt sorry for us, but there was some truth in this. It was a little frustrating for us because every year for vacation, we had to go to Hawaii. Now, nobody really feels sorry for you in that sense, but it was kind of limited. When you only get 2 weeks of vacation a year, you really can't go anywhere else. Again, it wasn't the worst thing. But you see, one of the interesting things was going to Hawaii. That was kind of a challenge. We'd go visit them. Is they lived on a mango orchard. And it was about 2 acres. They had about 75 mango trees on it. And I know one year we went to visit when the mango season was wrapping up. You're not going to like me saying this, but it's true. Property stunk. I mean, there was a really bad, like, fermented fruit smell going on. Because a mango tree produces a lot of mangoes. And so these mangoes would keep falling to the ground, and they couldn't keep up with it because you have too many trees that produce too much fruit. It was a matter of fact, a mango tree, just to give you some understanding of how big they are, if left unpruned, can reach as much as 100 feet high, can have a canopy of a good 35 feet around. A mango tree that's about 20 years old will produce about 300 mangoes a year. A tree that's about 40 years old will produce 600, 800 to 1,000 mangoes a year. So imagine all these raining down now on the property. And if any of you went to bed late last night and you enjoyed the beautiful pitter-patter of the light rain last night, that's how it sounded on their property, but it was more of a thud as mangoes would continually fall throughout the night. Funk, funk, funk. It was hard to sleep at times, it really was. Now, something maybe we're a little more familiar with than mangoes might be pumpkins, all right? Talking about plants and everything, and you know, I know some of you are even growing pumpkins or have in the past, and pumpkins are so prevalent around the world, the only continent they're not grown on is Antarctica, which makes sense. In the U.S. alone, there is 1.5 billion pounds of pumpkins produced every year. What I found interesting about that is 95% of all of the processed pumpkins in America are grown in Illinois. 95%. The biggest pumpkin ever grown was 1,800 pounds. Pumpkins can reach over 30 feet in length with their vines. By the way, that one pumpkin was over 5 feet in diameter. Each pumpkin can produce as many as 500 seeds. One little seed can produce all of that. The other thing I've noticed as we're talking about gardening is in a garden I used to have when I was in Sioux Falls, we would always grow herbs, and I like cilantro. For those of you that don't know cilantro, it's a leafy herb oftentimes found in Mexican or Asian dishes. And cilantro is actually an annual. It dies every year. But my cilantro in Sioux Falls was weird. It acted like a perennial. It just kept coming back every year. And see, what had happened is the cilantro would grow. I remember one year this happens, and what happens is if it gets hot, it bolts right away. So the leaves shrivel up, it grows flowers, produces seeds, and dies. So I was mad at my cilantro plant, so I just left them in the garden there to die because I was angry at them. I didn't get much out of them. Well, the next spring, when I came out to plant cilantro again, there was already a bunch coming up. Why did that happen? Well, those little seeds that it had produced, when the plant died, it had fallen down, but I didn't think anything of it. It was probably July when the plants died. Those seeds are just going to lay there through the summer, through fall, winter. You're going to get a lot of snow on them. I didn't think those seeds would start growing, but they did. It got to the point I never planted cilantro anymore. It just kept growing and spreading throughout my garden to the point where it was outside of the garden box. It was growing on the path. It was growing in my lawn. There were times, I'm not kidding you, when I mowed my yard, that I smelled cilantro, chopped cilantro. Maybe want to go inside and eat some salsa. And so what you have these here, what I'm mentioning, the point of these gardening, these plants and everything, is obviously I'm no gardener. These are more anecdotal things that I've recognized or noticed about plants. Matter of fact, my green thumb is so poor, I'd probably kill a rock garden. But the point with these is what one little seed can do. How big it can grow. What it can produce. You know, you even think about, you know, and I'm not talking about literally small seeds. We think of a mustard seed growing to be a big, you know, mustard tree. I mean, a mango seed is probably the size of a half of a hockey puck. It's, you know, a big seed. But you think about something that small can grow into a tree 100 feet high that can produce as many as 1,000 fruits a year. That's incredible to think about that. And this one little seed, it can grow such deep roots with plants. And it can produce many fruits and many seeds. It's amazing what one little thing can do, but that is what's being described for all of us with hearts that willingly receive the Word of God. Please stand for the reading of our sermon text this morning. Our sermon text this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, Jesus said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell among the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it, and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew, and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things, and as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones among the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. You may be seated. And so we'll conclude this Sunday on this four-part examination of the four different soils talked about here in this parable of the soils. The first three soils, as we talked about the first 3 weeks, those that are the path, that have rejected the word of God, the seeds that are among the rocks, that receive the word of God but don't let it grow, and the worries of the world kill it off. And then those where the seed is grown among thorns, and it really can't produce fruit because it's choked out by all the weeds. And there's a reason every Sunday that I kept reading this entire parable and didn't stop after the one soil I was focusing on, because it's important for us to understand and examine at all times what the first three soils are like and what this fourth one is like, and say to ourselves, am I like this fourth soil? Because the first three are not painted in a good light. But this fourth soil, this is what the follower of Christ should aspire to be like. This should be the condition of our heart for the seed that is the Word of God as it's planted in our heart. You know, and as we look at this rich soil today and what happens with the seed and how it grows, sometimes the most beautiful descriptions for these things can be found in Scripture. Listen to some of these, and Larry had read one of these in our Old Testament reading this morning, and I'll get to that in a minute, but some of these poetic descriptions of what it means to be grounded in the Lord. Listen to Psalm 1, verses 2 to 3. It talks about, "Blessed is this man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." As you heard earlier, Jeremiah 17:7-8, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of droughts, for it does not cease to bear fruit. These are descriptions right there, beautiful poetic descriptions of what it means to have our roots grow in the Word of God when our heart receives His Word so well. But aside from these beautiful poetic descriptions about what it means to just let the Word of God grow in our heart come these descriptions as well, found out about the practical meanings of bearing fruit. In John 15, verses 5, verses 8, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Look at what the fruit does. It shows that we are disciples of God, how he designed us to be. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. We hear these descriptions about what it means to bear fruit as a believer, the importance of it. Scripture is laden with verses that talk about growing and bearing fruit. I didn't spend a whole week trying to find these four verses. The challenge was actually deciding which ones to use. There is so much in there about how we are to grow in our relationship and our knowledge of God and how we are to bear fruit for His kingdom. And you'll notice what you won't find in Scripture are any psalms singing the praises of a shallow root system. You won't find any words of wisdom being talking about how we should pursue the joys of riches at the expense of our relationship with God. Those things you won't find in Scripture. Instead, you will find it deep with encouragement for us to grow in our relationship and our knowledge of God. Going back and looking at those plants I described early on this morning, use those as an example. What all this means about what it means to be that rich soil for God's Word. The first thing, and I think this is the most important thing of all of this, all of these aspects about bearing fruit and spreading seeds and being a sower, none of them can happen if our root system is not deeply grounded in the Word of God. Do you know a mango tree plants its taproot 20 feet into the ground? That is a deep root system. Jason Karen's out in the woods every single day cutting down trees. He probably knows some big root systems, all right? But how important those deep root systems are for the growth and the health of that plant, especially to withstand the trials and challenges that can come its way. You see, the Word of God is what helps us to grow. The things of this world will not help us to grow. If we pursue those, we will only get so big before eventually some kind of trial will kill our root system, or before the pleasures of this world will take our eyes off God and will wither up and dry out. When we pursue the things of the world, the good or the bad, we are not prepared to handle either of those because we are not rooted in the Word of God, which is our strength. You see, the seed that has been fed the Word of God, we could call that miracle grow. All right? That's what helps us to grow. That's what helps us to be strong, to withstand whatever comes our way. We lean on God through all of it. Because what happens with the Word of God is the Spirit is at work in us. God's Spirit that is our counselor and our helper and our guide helps us to grow, to put aside the old us, and instead change us to desire to be more like Christ, which is how we were made to be. This is Christ in us when we desire to be more reflective of Christ and God's love through Him and our love for the world. And you stop and you think about that work of the Spirit in your heart and how you become more Christ-like. What happens from that is you desire to go out and bear fruit, not because you have to, because you want to. There's that excitement and that joy in wanting to go out and share what you have received from God and His love, His undeserved grace. You want others to know of that as well. C.S. Lewis said this about that. The Christian thinks any good he does comes from the Christ life inside him. He does not think God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because He loves us. Just as the roof of a greenhouse does not attract the sun because it is bright, but it becomes bright because the sun shines on it. And all that's being described right there, that's that fruit that we bear then. That fruit that we bear and the impact that it makes for others. You see, we have that strong root system. That strong root system that helps us produce much fruit, which is for the benefit of others. Think about how the pumpkin spreads out all over the place. Its fruit reaches all over and it plants many seeds. That's what the work of God is doing in us. We are reaching out to the world. We are spreading out for the benefit of others. That's what fruit does, if you think about it. What do we do with fruit? We eat it. It helps nourish us. It helps us to live. The Word of God does that, not just on a physical level, but on a spiritual level. Larry prayed that this morning in his prayer, that God, may we not just feed people tonight at the block party with just physical means, but also that we can feed them with the Word of God and the truth and salvation that comes from knowing that. That's that fruit, my friends, that we spread, that we share, that we become, and we reach out, we give out to others. Our good works that are done in Christ is that fruit that we bear, that we are meant to bear for many. A lot of people can paraphrase Matthew 25. This is where Jesus talks about when he comes again and he'll separate the sheep from the goats. And whether or not people know the Bible, most people have probably at some point even said this. They've probably even shared this part in Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. These are the people that Jesus is describing as righteous. That's that fruit that we bear right there. You hear those descriptions of what we're doing for other people, the fruit and what it means. I want you to think about those type of actions that were described there. How that feels to the recipient of those deeds, of that love, of that fruit. Think about when you serve somebody in need. If you approach that individual and serve them because you have to, then they're going to feel that way. They feel like a burden and insignificance. But when you serve somebody out of that abundant love and joy that you have because of what the Word of God has done into your heart, and you desire for them to receive and know that same love that God has given to you, all of a sudden they receive what you are giving them. They receive that fruit with a feeling of value and love, because you are showing God's love for them through the fruit that you bear. You know, when Jesus talks about that, loving and serving and bearing fruit, this isn't some kind of hippie movement about love everyone and we'll all feel good and be happy. What we're talking about here and why these fruits are so important is because we have received this undeserved gift that while we were still sinners, Christ came and died for us. So we too understand that all people deserve God's grace and forgiveness, and we want them to know it, and we understand the fruits then that we are bearing have eternal consequences and help people to come to this eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we bear that fruit for others. And bearing fruit, by the way, isn't just what we do for others. It becomes how others see us as well. It becomes our conduct. Galatians 5, 22 to 23, the fruit of the Spirit is simple as this. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That is the fruit that becomes us as well, the fruit that we bear, because this is how we are transformed, to show those traits. I would have loved it, by the way, if in Luther's small catechism he had added that part. For all of you that grew up Lutheran, you probably for confirmation class had to, I know some people even had to memorize the small catechism. And Luther wrote in the small catechism, he explained the Apostles' Creed, he explained the Lord's Supper, he explained the Ten Commandments. I would have loved it if he would have added there and explained the 9 points of the fruit of the Spirit as well. What these traits mean in our lives, how we reflect these traits, how biblically we are called to reflect these traits. This becomes who we are. Because what that is that's that process of sanctification that we as believers should be going through, this transformation of ourselves. And so the last thing that we do as we grow in that rich soil, aside from growing our deep roots in the Lord, aside from bearing this productive fruit, we sow seeds. That's what this parable is about when it starts out. It says the sower. The sower is the evangelist, whomever that is you, as you are out evangelizing, spreading seeds. You know, as I laughed at my cilantro plant because here it would grow and then it would die off and all these seeds would fall on the ground and other ones would go. Think about it. It produces a bunch of seeds. A few of those grow. Well, they produce a bunch more seeds. They die off and produce more. I mean, that's what you know, gardening is all about. That's what planting seeds are all about, as we watch it grow and produce more seeds. We know that. So let's put this in a modern context to understand the impact that we can have as we sow seeds around the world. I'm not much of a mathematician, so I'm not about to do the numbers here. For those of you who are, your brains will roll. It's probably going to be a pretty big number, all right? But I'm going to put this in a modern context about how seeds can spread rapidly and the impact it can make. Let's look at social media today. Let's look at Facebook. There's a great example since most people are on it. They have over 1 billion people in the world that are on Facebook. For those of you that don't know Facebook that well, in Facebook you have something called your friends. All right, your friends list. You send somebody a friend request. Now let's say every person has an average of 100 friends. And you may think to yourself, if you're not on Facebook, well, 100 friends, that's a lot. I don't know 100 people. That's kind of how Facebook works, though. You sit next to somebody in an airplane, you chat with them for a couple hours, you go your separate way, you get home. I like that person. You look them up on Facebook, you send them a friend request. You're never going to hang out with them again or see them, but you kind of met them for a couple hours, so you become friends. So let's say you have 100 friends on Facebook, and you shared the gospel. You sowed that seed. You scattered that seed out there to all 100 friends. All 100 of those friends, let's say they have 100 friends. They spread that seed as well. And those 100 friends of your 100 friends now spread seeds to their 100 friends. You get how fast this is growing and how big these numbers are? That's how the Word of God spreads. That's how one little seed can spread for the sower that goes out and shares it. And one thing can be a little stressful or frustrating as we go out and we spread the Word of God. And I've talked to some of you here at this church that are frustrated by this. I don't see people coming to Christ. I spread the Word of God, but I don't see them coming to Christ. Why is that? You know what? Keep sowing. Because listen to what it says in John 4, verses 35 to 38. This should take all that stress away from you. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then come the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Sow the seeds. Maybe somebody else comes along and reaps that reward of your labor. It doesn't matter as long as all can receive Christ. What does it matter? Sometimes you are going to call to be the sower. Actually, we're always called to be the sower. And sometimes you're called to reap that, a work that somebody else already did. Never get frustrated or upset or disappointed because, well, I'm not really seeing people come to Christ. You're not called to do that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You are called to spread the seeds. Rejoice in the time where maybe you are the reaper, where you get to see the benefits of a seed somebody else planted. But take that burden and that pressure off yourself that I have to save somebody. Go and spread the seed. Trust that somebody else will come along, that the Spirit will work on somebody else to reap that harvest. The work of the Holy Spirit, trust in Him. That concludes, my friends, our look at the four soils. And you know, this was a challenging sermon to write, this fourth one. The other three were great. Loved writing them. But the part of the problem with this one is I felt like I was just, this one, repeating everything I had said in the previous ones. Because we talk about one of the flaws of the soils and how not to have that be us. Frankly, I was tempted, as a matter of fact, to get up for the sermon just to give a one-sentence sermon. For those of you that are asleep, you probably wouldn't have liked that because that would have cut into your nap time right now. But really, what I really was tempted, and I had to like fight to not write this for today's sermon. Today's sermon simply would have been, you remember the soil of the last 3 weeks? Don't be one of those. That was going to be today's sermon, and that was it, because frankly, that's the truth. Do not be one of those three soils, because Jesus is not painting those in a good light. He is telling us Let our heart be like that garden, that soil in the garden, that the Word of God can get through that seed and grow and become that deep root system that is needed, and then producing all that fruit and those seeds that we can scatter. Become that person, because it's the Word of God in our heart, a heart of good soil, that becomes that. That's who you were created to be. That was God's design for you. Designed for each of us to do these works He's prepared beforehand for us in Christ. But I'll leave you with this morning, to ask yourself this much. Do you want to have lived a life where you were content just being a little plant that never grew and never produced anything? Or do you want to have lived a life that has fully realized the potential that it was created for? The potential that it was created for by the Creator of the universe. The one who knew exactly everything He was doing, and He has you as part of that plan and created all of these things for you to do. Would you much rather not be that? Bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we continue to ask and pray for Your Holy Spirit to be at work in our hearts. Father, to help our roots continue to grow deeper in Your Word, deeper in our knowledge of You. Father, let the fruit that we bear be a fruit that helps Your kingdom be known here on this earth. People may receive the eternal benefits and rewards of the fruit that You have given us to bear. And Father, may we continue to sow seeds in hearts. May Your Spirit be at work in other believers around the world to be reapers of those work. And may we also be reapers of the times and other people's labors. That regardless of who gets credit for it, Father, it's about people coming to know You as Savior. Father, we thank You for calling us. We thank You for allowing that seed to grow in our hearts. We pray it would continue to grow. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.